I'm Ken Zonley, and this is Performing Arts Gallery. It's finally here, Macomb's first corn-fed film fest. It gets underway tonight at 7 o'clock with the opening credits reception at the West Central Illinois Arts Center on the square in downtown Macomb. Tickets to the reception are $25 and are available this afternoon from the Western Illinois Museum or at the door. The reception will include the screening of several short films, including The Candidate by Macomb native and horror filmmaker Marcus Dunstan. The feature film rights to The Candidate have been picked up by a feature film production company. So Dunstan says it will hopefully now be a feature, and Cornfed is getting the first look at where it all began. More information about this weekend's Cornfed Film Fest can be found at the website at cornfedfilmfest.net. There are many events and screenings going on tonight and tomorrow, and an awards at Shiloh's Restaurant on the Square on Sunday. Be sure to check out the schedule. Once again, cornfedfilmfest.net. Tomorrow afternoon on the Western Illinois University campus, the Department of Theater and Dance is pleased to present a free lecture and performance by Antonio Fava, a renowned master of the Italian Commedia dell'arte and a visiting guest artist from Italy. His program, Noses, Mustaches, and Lassi, will be at 2 o'clock in the Heinlein Theater on Saturday afternoon. That's tomorrow. Commedia dell'arte is a form of performance that dates to the 16th century in Italy. It's based on masked characters, comic scenarios, and comic improvisation. Antonio Fava has an international reputation for his skills as a mask maker, performer, teacher, and scholar of the genre. There will be a historical introduction, an illustration of the characters, performance of several routines, and a question and answer period. Tomorrow night in Galesburg at the beautiful Orpheum Theater, Celtic Crossroads is back by popular demand. The show was a near sellout in March 2011, and they received so many phone calls asking for the group to come back that they've broken their unwritten rule and asked them to return for consecutive years. Celtic Crossroads is an Irish band of 7 world-class musicians and 2 dancers. Celtic Crossroads, tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Orpheum Theater. Tickets are $20, $25, and $35. You can stop by the box office at 250 East Main Street in Galesburg for tickets. Two concerts on the Western Illinois University campus of note this weekend. Tomorrow night at 7:30 in the Kofak Recital Hall, the Western Illinois University Wind Ensemble President's Concert takes place under the direction of Matt Thomas. Works include Leonard Bernstein's Overture to Candide, Eric Whitaker's October, and Percy Grainger's Lincolnshire Posy. That's free and open to the public. Also free and open to the public on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock in the same room, a faculty recital of mixed chamber ensembles, including works by Richard Strauss and Jean Francais and Giancarlo Monati. Featured artists include mezzo-soprano Kelly Miller and the Camerata Woodwind Quintets. This coming Thursday night, the Bureau of Cultural Affairs at WIU is presenting Dr. Kaboom. Dr. Kaboom is an interactive one-man science variety show suitable for all audiences. The creation of actor and comedian David Epley, Dr. Kaboom creatively blends theater arts with the wonders of scientific exploration. Join him for increasingly spectacular and often actually successful experiments and demonstrations. Dr. Kaboom, an explosive style of learning, 7:30 p.m., in the University Union Grand Ballroom this coming Thursday night, April 19th. And finally, this coming Monday night at 7:30 at Wesley United Methodist Church in Macomb, McDonough Choral Society celebrates its 10th anniversary in a grand way with a commissioned piece. Joining us to talk about it, director Susan Shoemaker and composer Dr. Randall Faust. Susan, 10 years of the Choral Society.
How about that?
Did you think you'd be still here 10 years later doing...
I don't think I even thought about it. or John and I even thought about it. We just got ourselves started and away we went. Hardly seems like 10 years.
And now at the point where, with an anniversary, you're not only performing great works of the past, but now you're starting to commission your own new works for the Society.
Yes, it's really very exciting for the Choral Society. The chorus, I think, has really gotten themselves involved in the work, which is a very interesting work that Dr. Faust has created, and the excitement is there for all of them of doing something for the first time that nobody else has ever heard.
And that is always exciting. Literally, this is a work that has not yet been heard in public. And it's a very, well, regional.
It is very regional, and Randy can tell you more about that because he's the one who found the literature and then created the music around the text.
Yes, well, I have to thank Susan because she directed me in the direction of John Hollis, and I had some conversations with him as well, too. And, of course, he is probably the historian of this region, having written books on the history of Macomb and in the history of WIU and written about a lot of the authors from this area. And being this is a historic occasion, the 10th anniversary of the Choral Society, I find it very interesting also. I sort of think of this as the historic district of Illinois. You know, of course, there's been a lot of talk about Lincoln and the new Lincoln Museum down in Springfield. But, of course, they've had the historic reconstruction around New Salem for years. People know about Mark Twain over in Hannibal and the Carl Sandburg birthplace up in Galesburg, and we're right in the middle of all that. Dr. Hollis has gotten into this in a much deeper fashion, and in this one book of his, Illinois Literature, the 19th Century, he has a lot of those authors as well as others, some of whom that you might not have heard of. There are poems, there are short stories, there are excerpts from some of the speeches of Abraham Lincoln, for example. It's a rich mine of literature there, and an insight into the history of this area. You find that they're very universal and hold true today, some of the thoughts that are contained therein.
Was there any one of the texts that just immediately jumped out at you and sort of took over the page?
Oh, several of them. Basically, the ones that ended up in the piece. This one poem by Eliza Snow called Let Us Go. She talks about going to the land where we can be free, where we will not be oppressed. She writes from the perspective of someone who lived in the Nauvoo in the early part of the 19th century, having lived earlier in Ohio and Missouri, and this was sort of a promised land for a while. And the words that she uses were very appropriate to her own particular experience, but you could associate them with people from all sorts of various sociological groups, even today. And it's a wonderful text. There's a very humorous text from this story called The Emigrant's Guide to the Western States by John Reagan. And there's this chorus that we have there called The Qualities of a Good Cow. It is the funniest little tale of how people would barter back in the 19th century. I'll try to do the short version here. But after the farmer and the person who's trying to get payment, discuss it. He's going over the qualities of a good cow in his mind. And it's an interesting slice of life in rural Illinois from the 19th century. William Cullen Bryant's The Prairies and The Hunter of the Prairies, epic sort of poems in a way, talking about this wonderful vastness that we see here. One of the lines in there, these are the prairies, floor of the magnificent temple of the sky. John Howard Bryant was a newspaper man. He lived, first of all, in Jacksonville, later on in Princeton. So right around us here. He was also a very active abolitionist. One of the poems, Bold Champions of the Poor, Our Thorny Road Before Thee Lies. You know, I mean, he's talking about what we have coming up if we're going to overturn this system of slavery. He's talking from that perspective. Very idealistic. Lo, the day dawns upon our eastern shore. Soon shall the night of prejudice be o'er. In giving freedom to the slaves, we give freedom to the free. We shall not escape history. And of course, that last line is from Lincoln's address. But the juxtaposition of the thought of those people shows up quite a bit. With guys like John Howard Bryant talking to him, see why Lincoln was the way he was. We often hear about Lincoln, but often don't hear about the other people who were his contemporaries. We're very aware maybe of the commentators on the political scene who influenced the thought of our current politicians, but they had them back then, too. And instead of talking on the radio or television or through the internet, they were writing articles for the newspaper, they're writing poems, and that shows up in some of these choruses.
And now they're talking to us today in song through
this
piece.
That's right.
I'm kind of a Lincoln buff, having grown up close to New Salem. My hometown of Petersburg was even surveyed by Lincoln. And so I grew up with Lincoln history, and so it's all makes it even finer for me.
A brand new piece for a now 10-year-old organization. 10th anniversary concert coming up on Monday at 7:30 p.m. at Wesley United Methodist Church. We'll have the world premiere of Songs of Freedom, Hope, and Destiny. Dr. Randall Faust of Western Illinois University, Susan Shoemaker, directing the chorus along with works by Copeland and some traditional works as well. Good luck.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having us.
Oh, and by the way, the concert is free and open to the public, though free will donations will be accepted. I'm Ken Zonley. Join me again for Performing Arts Gallery.